Chinese President Xi Jinping has made the nation's goals clear: to become more prosperous and powerful and reunite with Taiwan. Tensions are rising between the island and the mainland, and people are divided on where they stand.
101
East examines the fractured relationship between China and Taiwan.
If China's national anthem sounds like a battle cry, it is. The song's lyrics date back to the Japanese invasion in the 1930s. These are words the school students take to heart. The UFA Martial Arts School is producing warrior citizens. Yue Fei was a 12th century Chinese general, and these days he's a folk hero. His name is synonymous with loyalty and patriotism. This fighting spirit is at the core of President Xi Jinping's leadership, and it was on full display at the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party. President Xi Jinping is encouraging all citizens to stand up for China's interests at home and abroad. And it's all in pursuit of something called the China Dream.
So the China Dream is about making China as a country, as a state, more prosperous, more powerful. So for individuals, it's not about individually becoming wealthier, but it's about taking pride in China, the country, the state, becoming more powerful.
At the UFA Martial Arts School, students are taught core subjects, but the China Dream is considered equally important. It's a message they'll take from the school to their careers.
他们的梦想大部分都是长大了以后去当兵，为自己的祖国做贡献。他们的梦想就是像岳飞一样，保卫自己的国家。
And it's clear what some of these students want to be.
当兵.
For others, a different dream.
拍电影.
But acting can also be patriotic. 以武力为尊卑大举肃清中国，越战后开始他抗击中军，百家欲国的仁义满身的。Recovering the old empire may be on China's to-do list, but with talk of conflict over Taiwan, what do the Taiwanese think about their identity and future?
So we're in one of the busier sections of Taipei. And it's normally more crowded, right, if it weren't for COVID.
Enoch Wu is a former Special Forces soldier and now a rising star politician. And he's concerned the Taiwanese aren't prepared for what the future could hold.
Kids in Taiwan, in elementary school, folks go through earthquake training. We understand the do's and don'ts when we face a fire. But there are certain more catastrophic events that we're less prepared for, including a potential military attack. And I think there's a heightened risk of that with all the investments that China has been making over the last few decades.
This year, China increased military pressure on Taiwan, and there's global concern about the threat of conflict. China's missiles could reach every part of the island in minutes.
The government has a list of all of the qualified air raid shelters in the city, and they put it on a map, and it looks like this. And these are a mix of underground facilities underneath office buildings, shopping malls, residential complexes. They're mostly parking lots, right, and car parks.
Wu says Taiwan's 117,000 air raid shelters are expected to accommodate more than 20 million people.
And if you look around us, you'll see it's a nice parking lot, but there aren't a lot of facilities, a lot of items that you might need in an air raid shelter, right? For example, you can feel how hot it is right now. Right, ventilation's important, power generation's important, medical supplies important, food supplies. And so if we believe that a missile strike on Taiwan is a possibility, then we need more facilities that are fitted and equipped with items that could help the general population to shelter in those events.
It's one thing to have air raid shelters, even if they are just car parks. But how serious is the threat of military action?
In short, it's quite serious. Right, in my view, China spent the better part of the last couple of decades investing in its military, right? One of its core missions is to take Taiwan by force, if the Beijing leadership deems it necessary. So I think the only way that Taiwan can avoid a military conflict is to really be prepared for conflict, right? They always say, right, the best way to prevent war is to prepare to fight.
Taiwan's defenses are reportedly plagued by aging military hardware, supply issues, and motivation problems. Taiwan has mandatory conscription, but it's being reduced from 2 years to just 4 months and is ridiculed as a summer camp.
There's no way of getting around the fact that conscription is unpopular in Taiwan. But it's unpopular for one main reason, which is for most of us, the time we spend in the military is too often spent on chores like, you know, marching and bayonet drills, and almost too little or no time on combat training, then no one leaves the military better prepared for a crisis. But we have to change that.
Wu's is drawing on his special forces background and some fancy simulations to train up civilians to deal with disaster.
So we're holding workshops, right, for folks like us. And we're saying, hey, this is how you de-escalate a conflict. This is how you treat a wound. This is how to recognize when someone is bleeding profusely, and this is how you stop the bleed. It's teaching everyone how to be a first responder in emergencies. And that takes preparation on our part. And it takes us coming together as a society to say, hey, this is going to take all of us, not just our 160,000 strong military. Our goal needs to be so that every morning when the Beijing leadership wakes up from their China dream, they need to realize, hey, you know, today is not the day to take military action.
Located off the Chinese coast, Taiwan is like nowhere else on Earth. Only a handful of nations recognize Taiwan as a country. For most of the world, its status is an ambiguity. But not for China. It claims Taiwan as its own, a renegade province to be reunified.
We have a strong resolve, strong confidence, enough ability to defeat any form of Taiwan-centric schemes.
It's also part of China's ambitions to control the South China Sea, giving it an advantage over trade routes and resources and the strategic high ground. This year, a record number of Chinese military planes have flown close to Taiwan, seen by Taiwan as a provocation. While the US doesn't recognize Taiwan as a country, it does sell them military hardware. US President Joe Biden has said the US will come to Taiwan's defense if it's attacked. I want to know what the Taiwanese government makes of the growing tensions.
Hello, Colas.
Hi, Jennifer.
Colas Yataka is the presidential spokesperson.
What's Taiwan's greatest concern today?
Actually, the main obstacle for us today is our standing as an independent country has been undermined by China. We have been telling people ROC Taiwan is an independent country. We are a sovereign country that has our own military. We have election, a president. So ROC Taiwan's independence is a fact.
ROC Taiwan is the abbreviation of Republic of China Taiwan.
Taiwanese want peace. We don't want a war at all. But to send war planes flying over 28 times in one day, it's not peace. It's destroying the status quo. Misinformation and fake news have been attacking us for years. This kind of attacks is try to help to create the conflicts between our governments and the people.
These non-military threats are called grey zone tactics. The Taiwanese say they're designed to disrupt the status quo and wear them down. They include barrages of disinformation, cyber attacks, and economic coercion. One recent example involves a clash over COVID vaccines.
A vaccine shortage during Taiwan's biggest COVID outbreak has led to a public outcry for vaccines.
Taiwan has for the first time directly accused China of blocking a deal with Germany's BioNTech vaccine developer for COVID-19 jabs.
But Beijing rejected the accusation.
China has offered to send doses to the island, which it considers its territory, but Taipei has expressed concern about the safety of Chinese shots.
By refusing vaccines from China, the Taiwanese government was accused of putting politics above health. But when Japan and the United States donated vaccines to Taiwan, China objected and warned them to stop meddling in its internal affairs. This is just one example of grey zone conflict. There are many more right on China's doorstep. Only 9 kilometres off China's coast are Taiwan's Matsu Islands. Matsu used to be a front line when the two sides were at war. They're so physically close, this billboard was once used to taunt China.
然后这一边呢，看一下整个带弹。
Tour guide Chen Saihua explains the message.
要放在你的额枕旁边，当你的枕头，等待天即将亮的时候，要干嘛？作战。She
remembers when the island was attacked in the late 1950s.
可是呢，它那个声音，如果说离到你这个村庄近的时候。 听到那个声音，咻，嘣啊！那个声音，我们光是听那个声音而已
家里面爸爸妈妈那时候我们还是小孩子啊，那我们的声音很可怕，我们就赶快冲跑到那个防空洞里面去就躲，生活是处在很惊恐的状态。
Today, there's a different kind of battle going on, a fight over what's at the bottom of the sea.
我钓鱼资历二十几年了。
我们在这边的话，应该土生土长都在钓鱼的吧。
The fishermen say Chinese sand dredgers have been illegally plundering these waters, ruining both the environment and livelihoods.
我抽沙船现在就是因为他把目前的马祖的生态已经给变掉了，连随便钓都有。以前都我们前面绑个钩子钓都一整桶回去了，现在没有这个前景了，现在是到处爬都没有。
This illegal dredger has been here since October last year.
Wen Li is a local politician.
The sand dredger was illegally mining for sand in the waters near Mazu, which are considered Taiwanese restricted waters. Then Taiwan's Coast Guard detained it. You can see shards of broken seashells, and including sand and gravel and other parts of what used to be marine life. And it's just a sad sight to see. It just affects the people's livelihoods on so many levels, from fishing to tourism. It even affects our local infrastructure, as underwater cables between the different islands of Mazu get destroyed or damaged.
Taiwan's Coast Guard is outnumbered and outsized by the hulking dredgers.
The dredgers come in and out and trespass into the restricted waters and then run away, and it makes law enforcement extremely difficult for our own Coast Guard. And last year, in 2020, sometimes you would see a large amount of dredgers around the waters of Mazu, up to 100 or 200 illegal dredgers surrounding Mazu.
Wen Li believes the dredgers are part intimidation tactics, part opportunism.
Of course, we cannot deny there's an economic component. China is the largest consumer of sand in the world, sand and gravel, and they are willing to use illegal means to obtain the sand and destroy the environment. But then again, we do not rule out the possibility of this being part of a gray zone strategy or gray zone tactic with the goal of harassment and intimidation. If we just allow this to happen, then we just allow the destruction of our property and our environment. However, if we respond with military force on these civilian dredgers, then it gives China a further pretext to further escalate tensions.
The fishermen believe China is playing a bigger game.
在抢的还是这个海这片海域的那个
海岸可以进进出出比较方便了、啊，所以说他们这个海岸线，它这个台湾这边就是一个大陆一个挡住它的跳板，挡住它的一个那个啦、啊、出口的进出口的那个一个。等于说一个关卡了，所以说它才那么重要。
To understand Taiwan, it helps to understand its history. Austronesian indigenous peoples have long called the island home. The Dutch and Spanish tried to colonize it, and China's Qing dynasty administered it for a little over 200 years, which is why today China claims historical ownership. They lost it to the Japanese, who ruled it for 50 years until the end of World War II. It then became part of the Republic of China. This was also the time of the Chinese Civil War, when Mao's Red Army was pushing out China's nationalist rulers, the KMT. Mao won, and about 2 million KMT soldiers and refugees fled to Taiwan, their last remaining part of the Republic of China. Mao's communist land became the People's Republic of China, and the world found itself with two Chinas. At first, Taiwan was seen as the real China. But that changed in the 70s when the US and the UN recognized Beijing as the official China. And Taiwan's Republic of China became what we have today, a largely unrecognized non-state. Being Taiwanese means different things to different people. There's a divide between those who say Taiwan is the Republic of China, which is the status quo, and others who say Taiwan is just, well, Taiwan. Dong Zhijie is in the Republic of China camp. This is common for families like his, who arrived from China after the Civil War 70 years ago.
Dong
Zhijie lives with his wife, two kids, and his elderly father.
海带要吗？不要，不要。阿姨，哎，是这个。这爷爷在做葱油饼。哦。饼。哦，饼。
Grandpa was a KMT soldier who fought against Mao's Red Army. Like many, he fled to Taiwan in 1949.
当然我刚来台湾的话，可是说台湾很苦了。 都是石头, 没有穿鞋子的, 不是穿木板啊, 就是光脚, 我都习惯了。
But the new arrivals from mainland China weren't always welcome.
地的原来的那些, 哎, 台湾人就会称为说这些是瓦星啊, 就外省人, 哦, 就称为这是欧啊, 然后像在台湾的人就是叫韩籍, 韩籍就是番薯, 那像我就是所谓的欧亚韩籍，就是我是大陆人跟外省人结婚生的，我就叫欧亚韩籍。Being
a mix of Chinese and Taiwanese meant Dong Zhijie's school life wasn't easy.
就会被以前叫嘲笑，现在叫霸凌啊。那你怎么遇见妈妈的？
怎么跟妈妈认识，然后相恋，然后结婚？哦，我跟妈妈认识，是你那个表啊，就是姨丈、姑阿姨了。啊，舅舅、亲戚，所有一听大陆人不嫁，所有的北门的老百姓说，你女儿不能嫁给大陆人，大陆人一嫁回去啊。 你女儿就完蛋了。后来她的亲戚也就不错，哦，这个阿祖真好哎，这个阿祖非常好，后来结婚就生你们两个，就这样。The
family is typical of many Taiwanese families who arrived 70 years ago. They identify as Taiwanese, but are clear about their Chinese heritage and the name they like to give the place they live.
然后，国际爷爷是觉得自己是中国人，还是台湾的，还是中华民国台湾的？应该还是就是他的认知，就是他还是中华民国了。这点因为军人嘛，就是誓死效忠国家，所以他这种观念可能在他的身上就很根深蒂固，就是他还是属于中华民国。但其实我觉得两岸都是一家亲了，也不要说。
But the idea of the Republic of China, or ROC Taiwan, doesn't sit well with everyone. Many people, especially younger generations, feel differently. People like RG.
台湾人本来就不是中国人。
RG's ancestors came from China a couple of hundred years ago. But he sees himself as Taiwanese rather than Chinese.
没有啦，因为自己我本身为主啦。因为其实你看，像我就是出生在台湾。 对不对？我跟中国一点关系都没有，所以。
And his pork on rice shop is a shrine for his beliefs.
啊，因为从小到大就是跟爸爸一起去参加社会运动。
所以像独立台建国这样子，你爸爸也是很支持。
非常支持啊，我们就是耳濡目染啊，对啊，没有，这就是我们的应尽的义务啊。我从小到大就是这样啊。
The status quo has meant relative peace and stability for Taiwan. But with China saying it's determined to claim the place as its own, how long can the status quo last?
任何人都不要低估中国人民捍卫国家主权和领土完整的坚强决心、坚定意志、强大能力。